Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
English literature. Now, you might find it a bit unusual that someone who's talked so much about science would have something, anything useful to say about English literature. Well, to be sure, none of my friends talk about it or anything like that, but as I go on the exercise run, I've got my glasses here, I hope, I read textbooks on English literature. This is part of it. So it's now 9 o'clock at night. I'm going off to the gym, possibly for 2 hours, to do some basic build-up work. Last night I had a rest, and as I work, I read this book. Now, I wish I could remember the name of the book. Now, the whole thing is just to study and just keep on pushing yourself. And it's, what a shock. So there's all these theory laws of English literature and what's it all for. Now, around 1828, there was, perhaps we should teach English literature as sort of like the religion of England, and it's a common religion which is not so class-based and not so boring as actual churches, with the Industrial Revolution arriving of the middle class. It's something that the middle class and other people can all hang on to, and it's something not wealth-based, so it might hold it all together. That was the theory, at least, for beginning the study of English literature. However, the interesting thing is that the universities in England were the monopoly of the Anglican Church. So to actually teach in one of these churches, there were two universities in England, Oxford and Cambridge, and they were both run by the Church of England, and in each university there were two colleges, and you had to essentially, to study there you had to actually be male, you had to be in the Church of England, and you could only do basically a medieval extension, philosophy, mathematics, that sort of thing, divinity, definitely not English. You could study languages other than English, and the thought was, well, the consequence of this is that you could only get access to the Church of England education. You had no avenue to get into the public service or law or anything else like that. It sort of kept minorities down by actually having the only route forward via these universities. So these universities were very protected in that people all wanted them to be very much run the way they'd always been, and that way kept England. Now, of course, with the Industrial Revolution, the large number of people, the fall of the church, they had to have this new thing, and so they began off London University. And London University had its first English courses in 1928. Weren't necessarily literature course, but the idea is that you could study a series of books. From A, you read A to B, and you've got English literature. I've only got a short time here before I go to it. That was in the University of London. And the University of London had out campuses, which eventually became the other universities. So you had the two, Oxford, Cambridge, the University of London, and then over the next 100 years it came out. Now, it wasn't until 1896 that either Oxford got an English literature course, and 1911 before Cambridge got an English literature course. Now, what the? Oh yes, I think I'm doing right. Am I doing right here? I'll soon get it. I'm just trying to. Oh yes, such a short time. I'm nearly at the gym. So look, the really important thing is that Oxford and Cambridge didn't offer, science as we know it. Even though they had, you know, Cambridge had the great Newton, they didn't actually have a science as we understand a modern science degree. Just checking across here. I feel this is really unfamiliar, though I'm driving here all the time. Yeah, I'm going here at night, and again, I won't be the only person here at this gym. Yeah, so this is the interesting thing, that English literature is not... it's younger than science. You know, we've got Newton and the origins of science going back into the Middle Ages. English literature, or the study of English language and the theories of it, and structuralists, post-structuralists, and all that balava, which we'll eventually get into, I'll study into, didn't exist then. Now, unfortunately, this is where my talk for this ends, a mercifully short one. I'll continue. I'll read New Scientist and further in. What's interesting about this book is it's how to study as well. So, it's awesomely difficult to study. Thanks a lot for listening, and we're off to our next adventure.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.